praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep.
Thank you, Amy. So it is, my title is Thankfulness, and I wanted to start out with that because I really like Linda, even though she runs into situations that can drag her down. Her attitude is always, I want to get back where I'm praising God. And I so much enjoy hearing her when she's literally at times clawing her way back to that point where she gets to praise God again. Also, in terms of thankfulness, I appreciate the boys this morning making the coffee, even though they had zero clue what they were doing. We are drinking it, so, and nobody's keeled over so far. With Lori gone, that's a change for our household. Lori thought that she'd never done anything like this. I don't know. She's never been gone for a week, I know that. We're trying to think if she'd ever been gone for more than a day or two with something. Right, but I think those were just like a long weekend. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a change, and especially for Forrest because he counts on Mom. However, he did do one thing this week that raised my eyebrow. He left Mom a sink full of dishes. Clean dishes. He hasn't put them away yet. I'm sure that's really high on his priority list before tomorrow morning when he leaves for camp, is to put them away so that Mom has an empty sink as well. But yeah, I come home, or no, I called him one day and said, what are you doing? He says, I'm washing the dishes. And I know I was talking with her last night, and she says, yeah, Forrest had to call me and ask me on how to do the laundry, how much soap to use, and whether he'd already used too much. So,
I think I have a feeling she's going to ask for a raise.
Thanks, Dennis.
Now you know.
All right, back to thankfulness. So I also wanted to start with this line, that worship is the expression of our heart, our love towards God in Christ. Let's jump over to Luke 17. And I want to read a passage and then talk about it for a couple of minutes. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. And I'm reading out of the New Revised Standard. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Remember that those last couple words. They stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw him, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he had healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, and thy faith have made thee whole. That last word, whole, if you look up the Greek to it, it literally means to be saved, to deliver, to heal. And there's actually, that's a combination of two Greek words. It's in Strong's. It's 4982, and then along with 4571. And when you add 4571 to it, it implies your entire house or your household. That's really interesting because the nine, the ten of them, were healed physically. It wasn't until he came back and showed gratitude or thankfulness towards Christ that Christ then said, "You have been made whole." So when we read this passage, there's a formula going on that we can glean, at least from this passage. I'm not going to say that in every instance of the Bible this formula will stay intact, at least in the same exact sequence. But I don't feel like it goes against. And the first part of the formula is, or the sequence, is that gratitude produces worship. Forrest, can you throw that first slide up? So if we go back to verse 15 and 16, it says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He looks for and turns towards God," or Christ. "He shouts glory of him, falls down on his knees at his feet, and verbally thanks him." When we were created, God blessed us with the ability to praise or to give thanks in multiple different ways. And if you think back several years ago, Jeff gave a message on worship, and he brought up that there's 11 Hebrew words that how we can express worship. And seven of those words really pertain to thanksgiving or giving thanks. And I want to cover those. The first one is Todah, and that's Strong's 8426. Todah means a thanksgiving choir. So that's a group of people that gather to give thanks to God. Barak, which is Strong's 1288, means to kneel in thanksgiving. And here we see that this one leper that returned to Christ, the Barak pertains very specifically to him. He kneeled in thanksgiving towards Christ, or at Christ's feet. Tehillah, not tequila, Tehillah, is Strong's 8416, and that means to sing praises. Halal, that's Strong's 1984, means to give thanks with boasting. And the word or the term hallelujah that we use today came or stemmed out of halal. And so when we shout or exclaim hallelujah, then we are halaling towards God. Yada, which is Strong's 3034, means to give thanks with extended hands. And the extended hands could be outward or upward, but with extended hands. And how often when we want to come up to an individual and really thank them, do we reach for maybe their hand, or we do a gesture that's towards them, and that would be yada. Zamar, 2167 in Strong's, means to give thanks with a musical instrument. This includes writing a song, a hymn, or a praise. We know David did that, but also performing that piece, and not simply with musical instruments that are made of wood or brass or you know, sinew skin like drums or something like that, but our vocal cords are an instrument. And the last one, Shabak, which is Strong 7623, means to give thanks in a loud tone, a shout. So again, hallelujah, loud that would be Shabbat. Now, if we go back to, I'll do it this way. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to ask you if you remember where it's from, because I think when we meet here like this, this should not simply be instructional. It should be opportunity for us to stretch our legs, in a sense, with our knowledge. See who can come up with this verse first. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to bless his name. Okay? Anybody want to narrow down a little bit closer? It's Psalms 100 and verse 4. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up, this is those seven terms I just went over, there's actually four of them inside of this psalm. You know, it's just a couple of lines, but there's four of these terms. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving, that was translated from tada, a thanksgiving choir. And his courts with praise, tehillah, to sing praises. Give thanks, yada, give thanks with extended hands. To him bless his name, Barak. The word bless there is Barak. To kneel in thanksgiving. So a paraphrase of this would be to enter his gates and join the thanksgiving choir, into his courts singing praises, give thanks with extended hands, and bow as you bless his name. We have seven different ways that we can show thanks towards God and 11 different ways that we can worship him. And if we have any clue what God has done for us, has offered us, then should we not want to worship him? Again, exclaim or pronounce or show forth our thankfulness towards him. However, how often do we fall into a situation where we only do that maybe a couple of times a week? Do we allow ourselves to get in those situations? Maybe we only do it when we pray. We'll thank him for a couple of things. Or is it only when we experience an occasion where we feel like he just blessed us? We wait for those occasions to come. And they're few and far between because our eyes aren't very open to how much and how often he blesses us. Shouldn't we be blessing him, praising him, worshiping him at least once a day? What about a dozen times a day? What about a dozen times per hour? You know, there's that verse that says we should be in constant prayer. Prayer without ceasing. That isn't asking him to do things for us. It can be included, but it really should be our worship expression towards him, our thankfulness towards him. And then what happens when we get into those times where we feel like God's not paying attention to me anymore? Maybe he's abandoned me. Maybe he forgot about me. He's neglecting me. Do we cease our thankfulness or our worship during those times? Some of this came about here several weeks ago. You might not have heard, but our first grandbaby's on the way. And she has a name. It's Abigail. And Sebastian and Caitlin were coming out here for the baby shower, and I wanted to make something special for not just for them, but also for Abigail. And so I decided to make a memory box. And one thing that my father did when I probably was around 6 or 7 years old. He explained to me one day that he named me with great intention. That I was named a biblical name after Aaron the high priest. And that my dad had expectations that I would serve God the same way. I remember him telling me that, and I remember how important that was to him. But sadly, as my kids were born, I didn't think about that. I didn't name them with intentions towards God. I wasn't trying to withhold anything from him. I just didn't follow through. I don't want to do that with my grandchildren. Not only do I want to show intentions towards them and God about my grandchildren, but I want to constantly instill in them the importance of God in their life, throughout. And so as I'm thinking about building, and I'm in the middle of building this box, it's a memory box. It's a space where, early in her life, her mom can take maybe that first lock of hair that, she cuts off, and it gets put in the box. Maybe it's the first tooth. She starts school. Maybe, some of those papers, maybe some of those Mother Day cards, things like that are going to go inside this box. But I wanted the box to have meaning beyond that. And Forrest, would you, there you go. There's the box. And it's big enough that it will hold a full sheet of paper or multiples of that. So on the underside of it, which you can't see, I placed, I wrote Abigail a note, and I want to share that with you. Again, because I want her to never forget the blessings of God that started long before she was ever thought of. By her grandparents or by her parents. So one of the little short notes I made was that the wall, on the bottom of the box, I phrased this as kind of a PS. It says the walls and the platform of your box are made of hickory that we were able, meaning Lori and I, were able to salvage from your great-great-grandparents' farm on Lori's side. So that would have been Lori's mom's parents' farm. I was able to salvage the piece of wood, and it's hickory, that makes up the four sides and the platform on the box. The spalted maple top is from a tree that Miles actually helped me cut down, and along with several others here in the congregation, in our yard from 2015. And the walnut trim, which is on the very corners, that's a piece of trim. I think some of you know I'm building her parents a formal dining room table out of walnut, and those are cutoffs from that table. So the box truly was built with memories already included in it. And then I wrote this note to her. Abigail, memories are not about what we had, but what we possess. No matter what struggles you may face, let the contents of this box remind you not of loss, but of all the blessings from God you were born with. A family that loves you beyond imagination, just as God loves all of us beyond our imagination. Talents and gifts and purpose that God will give you opportunity to develop each day as you determine to put forth effort towards Him. These two verses, which were specifically chosen for you to memorize and to live by. Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And then finally, remember this. Every time I think, see, or hear of you, my day is greatly blessed. Love, Papa Baker. when we go back to that passage we read in Luke 17, we see that gratitude, you can go back to that first slide for us, that gratitude produces worship. But what produces gratitude? We go back to verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. What did I just do to myself? Here I am. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. So what produces gratitude? Miracles produce gratitude. He noticed that he had been healed. And then he was filled with gratitude. So how open are our eyes and our minds to all the miracles that God does in, around, and for us? If this is, in this situation here, if we think back to what this man's life was like leading up to this moment, it doesn't say how long, I don't think it says how long he was a leper, does it? Or they were lepers. But for a leper in that time, they were truly an outcast. They weren't allowed to live with the community, with their family even. They didn't get to spend time with their family. They got to spend time with other lepers. That was it. And remember I said, remember those couple of lines where in verse 12, it says, as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They weren't allowed to come right up close to anyone. In fact, when they were in a situation where healthy people could accidentally come close by to them, it was mandatory for them to yell out, unclean, as a warning to those who are supposedly healthy. Can you imagine going through life, everywhere you went, having to yell out, unclean, unclean, stay back. Right, it was right by law. They had to, yes, that is right, that is in God's law. So leprosy, I did a little bit of research or looking up on this, and it says it's a bacteria infection that causes nerve endings to go numb. And the reason the nerve endings go numb is because there's a extra growth that starts forming at the end of the nerve endings, and then it kind of constricts them. And so that's where you see, in a sense, like the boils or the sores coming out, and it's because of that growth from the infection. But as that's happening, it's numbing down the nerve endings, which leads to a lot of opportunities for injuries that are unknown, maybe. You know, if they bump their elbow, their arms, their legs, now they've got a new injury and they don't even realize, you know, that they did it. That then can also lead to new infections, you know, on the skin. And a lot of times they would actually, some of that would get so severe that they would actually start to lose extremities from it. And one comment that I read on it, one of the reasons they lost extremities is in the night, something like a rat could come up and start chewing on them and they wouldn't know it. So in verse 19, when he has gone back to Christ and thanked him, and Christ says, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." He is not just healed physically, he's healed emotionally and spiritually. Now, how many of us, looking back on our past, should we have been told by God's law to yell out unclean? All of us, right? And yet Christ has told us, by your faith, arise, you've been made whole. We don't have to go around yelling unclean. So shouldn't we be thanking him constantly for his healing? And it's not just our healing. So this leper didn't have the opportunity to go up to Christ just any time he wanted to. He had to wait for Christ. We, on the other hand, have the opportunity, and we just did this for 20 minutes or so, we can approach Christ anytime we want with anything we want. And do we take advantage of that? Problem is, too often we only approach him when we feel we have a need. Take care of me rather than taking care of him, blessing him. We wait until our car breaks down. Father, I need my car. I got to get to work Monday morning. We wait for the heart attack or the appendicitis and say, Father, I need my body whole. Father, I can't lose my job. We need that income. Father, I need a bigger house. You know, if that's the only time we go him, and there's nothing wrong with going to him on these things, but if that's the only time we go to him, why should he answer those? Gratitude produces worship. Miracles produce gratitude. So what produces miracles? Verse 14 of Luke 17. And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Now keep in mind, they're lepers. They cannot show themselves to the priest until they think they feel that they're healed. But notice what it says, and it came to as they went. So Christ told them, go show yourself to the lepers. And it wasn't until they started walking towards the priest that then they were cleansed. So what produces miracles? Obedience produces miracles. Christ said, go. And in this instance, they did. They could have said, we can't. We're still sick. We're still lepers. We can't go in front of the priest. How often do we come up with an excuse why we shouldn't be obedient? That this is too big for God. Dennis, you have a question or comment?
I just want to be clear. I don't think you're implying that those...
Get the mic, because we're recording. Oh, Amy's got it.
I just wanted to be clear. I don't think you're implying that those who aren't healed aren't obedient.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No,
you're just saying when... You know, because you said that produces miracles, so it means if you don't obey, then you don't get the miracles. But it's sometimes miracles happen because God just says, I think I want to have a miracle.
No, I'm glad you brought that up from the standpoint. It's easy to make some of the statements I'm making and just look at them as very black and white. But we need to test all these statements and see if, when we read the entirety of the word, do they always fit? You know, how do they fit in with that? Because as Dennis is saying, there are many who experience miracles prior to obedience. Abigail's one. I can give you a handful of blessings that she's going to receive when she's born. She's going to be born in the U.S., in the Western world, where there's running water, toilets, food at hand. She's going to be born into families that not only love her, but families that love God. How many children are not born into any of those circumstances? And circumstances much, much worse. And that's before they're obedient. So, yes, thank you, guys. I'm certainly not saying that.
I thought that has to be kind of clear, because a lot of people have suffered, like, tragedies, and they've been obedient. So it's, I just want to make sure, for example, when Christ turned the water into wine, doesn't mean that everybody in that wedding was all obedient to him.
Right.
So anyway, and that was a miracle. But anyway, just thought that, because sometimes things can be speaking from time to time, I get hearing, is that what you meant? No, so, okay.
No, but Christ is talking to us here very plainly that we do need to obey him in order to receive some of what he has promised. And I can give you a couple more examples of that. I just showed where the 10 lepers could have said, oh, we can't obey that. We're not allowed to. You know, what if when the Israelites and Moses were confronted with the fact the Red Sea is right in front of us and the Egyptian army is coming up hard and fast, and what does God tell Moses to do? Stretch out your hands and your staff over the water, right? Well, what if Moses would have said, Father, I don't know if you realize this, but the Egyptian army, and it's the entire Egyptian army, they're coming, and I don't think me waving a little stick, I mean, and or snake in front of them is going to do a whole lot of good. God says, no, put your arms over the water, and I'm going to do a miracle. When the Israelites get to the Jordan and they're about to cross into the promised land, the Jordan's at flood stage. They've been here and seen this before, right? Well, actually they haven't, because this is a whole generation now that are allowed to go into the promised land, but they know the story pretty well. And God says, He doesn't tell Joshua to extend his staff over the water, does he? What does he say this time? You remember? Step into the water. And what if Joshua and the Israelites will say, wait, you must have forgot. You remember way back when we were up against the Red Sea? You told us that you would part the waters and then we could go through. God said, no, I want you to step into the water. And it wasn't until they stepped into the water that then the waters parted. It's our part to obey, and God does the miracle. When we obey, then there is a miracle, and then we are grateful and we worship. So how do we thank him, and what do we thank him for on a regular basis? So this is open content or comments time. Gary, Clay, will you run the mic around?
I just want to add, I don't mean to take away your thunder, but to me, service to others, it creates tremendous gratitude toward us from God and from the people we're serving. And I mean, like, remember when Christ said, thank you for serving me, to his disciples, and When did we do that? When you fed the guy that was hungry and you went to the prison to visit and you healed the sick. I think you did it to me, he said. So I think our attitude towards service to the world around us is vitally important in God's gratitude and our gratitude to him for giving us the power to serve, the intelligence to serve, the wisdom to serve, the attitude to serve.
So, and why is it important? Because he commanded it, right? The disciples asked him, what are the two greatest commandments? And what were they? Love God with your neighbor, with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love others, or your neighbor, the same. So how do we go, when we are in times of comfort, in peace, and plenty, how do we thank God? What do we thank him for? And the reason I'm doing this as an interactive for the moment is because I want to get beyond the everyday common things. We thank him for our house, right? We thank him for our family and our friends. So what is it, as we go through a day in times of comfort and peace and plenty, what is it that we can thank him for that sometimes we just that just doesn't jump out as? Cindy? Come on, Clay, you're going to have to run now.
Well, I thank God that I know him. And today I was thinking about Sabbath, and I said, thank you that I know about the Sabbath and that I'm able to keep it, because that's not something you can take for granted in this world, to know what the true Sabbath is. And it's not because of some holiness on my part, but that he allows me to know about that. So, you know, there's so many details of things that are so much more important that we just take for granted, that just flow by us continually, that are really important. But knowing God, that's like incredible that I get to know God.
Jonathan's going to be next, but I'm glad you brought up the Sabbath, because I was thinking while we were during our prayer session, you know, it is such a relief to not only know about the Sabbath, but to actually keep it. Because if we're physically able to get here with each other, you know, with other believers, we truly get to step away from all of those problems for 24 hours, right? If it's financial trouble, we get to walk away from them. We don't have to worry about it. We can deal with it Monday morning. You know, and we've got friends to and believers to help us through these 24 hours and encourage us. That's a benefit people in the world do not have. You know, they go through 7 days a week worrying about the things that they ultimately they really can't control, and they have no options or no hope for. Yeah, Jonathan?
I just had a couple of comments to continue with what both what you said and what Cindy said about being thankful for the Sabbath. Being thankful for every opportunity we have to come before God with and worship with like-minded individuals. And for me personally, being thankful just showing up to church, because there's I've been going through a lot of difficulties over the last year since my brother passed, and it's not easy for me to even get out of bed, let alone to get dressed and come to a church and worship. But when I do, like you mentioned, the feeling of being around like-minded individuals, family, and in the presence of God, there's gratitude that I made it into his rest one more day. The other comment I want to make, playing off what Gary said earlier, is we don't often think about gratitude in service, but there is a lot of gratitude in service. Recently, I had an opportunity to help someone, and until Gary mentioned what he did, I hadn't really thought about praising God for it, but I was in a, not really a bad neighborhood, but kind of a little rough neighborhood, and there was a car that broke down in an intersection, and my wife asked if I was going to help the person push the car. And in times past, I've always been someone who wants to help. But over the last year, I haven't always felt like wanting to help people. Call me selfish, but I feel like I'm in need of help. I don't have anything to give to anyone else. But the person was struggling, and then another person got out of their car and decided to help, and they couldn't push the car because it was kind of going in uphill. And at that particular moment, I realized, well, I mean, I really needed to to heed my wife's suggestion and help. So we pulled over, and then I got out and helped. And I was the extra person that was needed in order to get that car pushed out of the intersection and into a parking lot. And I felt gratitude that I was able to help someone. But the thought that hadn't come in my mind is gratitude to God that He allowed me to be in a place where I could minister by helping someone. So I think that Gary made a really good point about allowing opportunities of service to be thankful to God that He's that we're able to share in His blessing, because we can bless others through the blessing that we've been blessed with.
Any others? Yeah, Paige.
I think just having moments in your everyday life where you really feel God's presence is a miracle or something. I mean, it may seem like a small miracle, but you know, you don't always need like sort of this earth-shattering miracle. You're not always going through a trial every moment. You know, a really big trial all the time. You have periods where it's better. So in those times where you, whether it's good times or bad, if you're asking God to really feel His presence, to make His presence known to you, and then you have a moment where it just seems to really happen, that's something to really be grateful for. And I was thinking about what your little chart here, or whatever you want to call it. I think that there's other things that can lead to gratitude. I mean, we should have gratitude all the time. So if we're looking for a miracle to be grateful, that's not necessarily right. But I don't think that's what you're saying. But I think you're saying that this is a general...
Well, again, that's
something
reason,
that is true generally doesn't mean that other things can't make you grateful.
Passage, this one
right,
passage,
this but, is an illustration. Right. And so I was thinking about, like, well, when is that really true? And when you think about it, I have a lot of friends who have really asked God very specifically for guidance in certain areas. And sometimes the answer that they really feel that they have gotten through much prayer and counsel and comparing what they feel He's leading them to do with the Word, so they're not like going off on this in this area that God doesn't say to do, and it sounds really preposterous sometimes to other people. You know, well, you can't afford that, or you don't have time for that, or like Jonathan said, you know, I am just barely hanging on here myself. What am I going to be able to give to someone else? And it can seem like a huge struggle. It's not worth it. People try to tell you not to do it. But I've seen it happen many times where they stepped out, you know, people have stepped out in obedience and given God the opportunity to produce the miracle. And if they hadn't stepped out in the obedience, their life might have been a little easier in some regards, and they questioned their sanity some days that they actually did the thing that God wanted them to do, but it opened the door for God to be able to produce the miracle that they didn't know that they needed, and that does produce gratitude. It's also a testimony to others and produces a lot of opportunity for growing in gratitude and in worship, and we can choose to follow that when He tells us to do something and see the benefits, see the miracles that, because we gave Him that opportunity. Or we can say, I'm not going to do that because that looks too hard and I'm afraid You're not going to show up for it. And then we miss out on that opportunity.
Well, I didn't really have this in my notes, but I'm going to cover it real quick. So this passage, we started down in verse... when we start in 11, let's jump up in verse or in chapter 17 of Luke, and I'm just quickly going to read starting from verse 1 on down. Jesus said to His disciples, Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times in one day, and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. There's quite a command there, isn't there? The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey. And then he jumps in, verse 7, he says, who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves, we have done only what we ought to have done. So let me paraphrase what he's just said here. He's told the disciples, there's going to be times when other people offend you. They shouldn't offend you, but it's going to happen. Somebody is going to offend you. And when they do, you are to forgive them. Even if the same person seven times on one day offends, but then still wants to repent, you have to do it. And think about this. Christ says that, and how do the disciples respond to him? Oh, we're going to need more faith. And Christ comes back with, no, you don't need faith. It's not that we don't need faith, but that's not the issue here. You need obedience. You know, do what you're commanded. And he says, don't fall into this mode where when you do what you are commanded, that you should be thanked. We're servants. We have a task list, and we should be following through wholeheartedly with those tasks. And not expecting, as Paige was trying to point out, that we're going to receive, and maybe Dennis too, that we're going to receive a miracle. It's a blessing that we get to serve our God, our Creator. You know, he jumps right back to, you need to obey. I'll take care of all the rest. You don't need to worry about the person that offended you seven times over in one day. I'll take care of that. You just forgive them. Yeah, Gary?
I was just going to point out the biggest miracle of all, and the two great commandments, this would be the third one, is come unto me and I will, how does he say this? All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Understanding Christ as our Savior and coming unto him on a regular basis for appreciation of his life, for his death, and for his resurrection, that we can have eternal life through it, is something we can never get tired of thanking him for, and should come to him regularly with that understanding and blessing back to him for such a wonderful thing that God put together just for us. And not just us, he did it for the whole world. He says, take my, these are commands. Come unto me is one. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We don't just rest on the Sabbath. We don't have to worry even through the week. He will take care of us.
So I got a quick little story about being thankful that come up this week. I have to be careful how I choose my words here. So I came out of the restroom at work, and there was no customers in the store, and most of the staff was out on the floor, and where, you know, we could hear each other. And I said, you know, this toilet paper situation is getting way out of control. Of course, that raises everybody's eyebrow. What are you talking about? I said, you know, it's gotten to the point now when you grab a new roll to put it on the spindle, and then you go to take the first piece, that's all you get is a piece. Because the roll is so thick now, it really doesn't fit in between the wall and the spindle anymore. Because they, you know, the manufacturers are trying to impress you, you know, with, well, we have a bigger roll now. And I said, so you go to take a piece and you get one tiny little square. And you go to take another piece, now you get a square and a half. And it's like, what am I going to do with these? You know, pat my forehead, you know. And Alan, my boss, says, you know, that reminds me. He says, you know, several years ago, his wife Mary and he were down in Florida for a jeweler's show. And they had to take a cab ride. And they got in the car and got talking with the cabbie. Of course, he was a foreigner. And he explained to Alan and Mary that they had fled their country, and I suspect it was India, that he was an actual practicing doctor, physician. And she was high up, or she had a high-end finance degree of some sort. You know, so they're fairly well-to-do, and they decided to leave because of how difficult everyday life was there. And he explained, he says, you know, we had to work 6 days a week. He says, everybody had Saturdays off. Isn't that strange? And which meant everybody did their shopping on the same day of the week. And he said, when you went to the store or to go, you know, gather your needs for the rest of the week, he says, it was just utter chaos all the time. He says, we come here to this country, and he says, we knew things would be better. But he says, one of the very first things that really struck us as odd is we went into the supermarket, and we came to the aisle with toilet paper. And it was a whole aisle of a lot of different choices. He says, there, we had one choice, and it wasn't a very good choice. He says, but here in this country, he says, the abundance is just overwhelming, even in toilet paper. And Alan says, I'll never forget that story, that cab ride, because he says, and he says, actually, he says, you know, it was probably, he says, we went a handful of blocks. He says, the fare probably ended up being like $25. He says, and I can tell you, I probably paid three or four times more than that, because he says, my wife likes to give. And he says, I didn't really know about, he says, but I know for a fact she handed him something much, much bigger than that fare, you know, as we were getting out of that car. But I, you know, it's just funny, you know, little things like that. Do we stop and thank God for all the abundance in our life? And I mean all the abundance in our life. We never think about shoes we're going to wear. We all have multiple pairs of shoes. And when we went to Kenya, shoes were a big thing for them. You know, they each had one pair. And there was a lot of times when inside of a large family, there might be three or four pairs of shoes, but there was eight or nine individuals, and they all shared those three or four pairs of shoes. So, you know, little things like that. Do we go through our day thanking him for all the abundance that we have been blessed with?
Toilet paper is not a little thing.
And I'm not saying it should end up being a little thing. I'm just saying somebody's got to come up with a different way. You know, they can't keep making the rolls bigger. Cindy?
In the wintertime, when I'm driving down the road and I see someone at the bus stop, and I just thank God that I'm not having to stand out there in the cold, that would be hard for me.
Yeah.
And I think about every time I see someone, I'm thinking that. You know, there's so many things that we take for granted. It could be a whole lot worse.
Yeah. I kind of want to keep moving on. We're almost done here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In all circumstances, for this is His will. Psalm 7:17. This is David's writing. and it's while he's being pursued by his enemies. I will give to you, the Lord, the thanks due to his righteousness, and sing praise to thy name, or to the name of the Lord, the Most High. So do we do what God's will is and praise him in all, or thank him in all circumstances? Which really means, and I think you heard me say this phrase here a while back, do we truly believe that everything God does, says, and allows us to experience is for our good and his glory? Everything he allows, does, and says, everything. Romans 8:28, we know that verse pretty well, right? We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Do we believe it when our marriage is falling apart? Our job is falling apart? Our finances are falling apart? Our health? Maybe our house, maybe our car? Do we still believe this, and do we still thank him? You know, I keep in contact with Seth from Kenya, and this week he got word to me early in the week that he wanted me to call him. So I think I talked to him on Tuesday, and he told me about the situation that had just taken place with some brethren that he was familiar with but doesn't get to see very often. A mother, or a father and wife, mom, and I believe one child were poisoned to death by their live-in maid, in a sense. And I asked him, why, you know, is there any clue as to why she would have done this to them? And he says, yep, they're believers, Seventh-day believers. And he says, it's pretty certain that that community, including her, knew what their beliefs were, and because they are drastically different from modern-day Christianity, felt that they were evil. And I said, so are the authorities pursuing this person? And he says, well, yes, they are, because it was viewed as murder, but more lackadaisical about it, because it's not really that big of a loss. But we talked for a little bit about how the believing community, what they're going through in this situation, having to bury this entire family. And yesterday he emailed me. I asked him to, you know, keep me up to date how things went. There was actually two funerals. The mom and the child got buried, I believe, on Wednesday, and then the father was buried on Thursday, and I didn't understand why that was. But yesterday morning I had an email waiting for me from him, and he said, well, this is how his opening lines to his email. He says, I thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus for his wonderful and goodness. The burial of the family went well, and even though there were doubts, but God did glorious things. So he's thanking God and praising God in this email. And then he went on to say that after these funerals, there was a handful of people from that community that came up to him and said, how come your church is not widely known? And why do you have such a strange gospel? And he said these people were asking in a way that they truly wanted better understanding, because something was said or things were done around those funerals that caught their attentions, that, oh, there's something here I need to know more about in a good way. And in the midst of this horrible event, tragedy, Seth saw where God is working. You know, we know the story of the blind man where the disciples went to Christ and said, "Who sinned?" Christ said, "No, his parents didn't sin. He didn't sin." This is for God's glory. And we don't always understand it in the moment. It's hard, you know, we can't see the bigger picture in the moment. But if we keep going back, God's in control. Everything he does, says, and wills is for my good, period. In the long run, it's going to be fine. It doesn't feel all that comfortable right now, but it's going to be fine. That's the reason right now when we're in times of plenty and peace and comfort, we need to be given thanks to him as often as we possibly can. Give yourself an exercise, and you've heard me talk about this before. You know, tell yourself at least once an hour, I'm going to pause and thank God for something. And give yourself 30 days. Don't just do it for one day. Do it for 30 days. Because what's going to happen is after the second or third day, you're going to start running out of common things to thank him for. And you're literally going to have to start thinking of things outside of your normal box to thank him for. And when you start doing that, your mind, your eyes are open to the blessings that have been there all along. You just weren't paying that much attention. You are allowing all this other stuff to get in the way of your vision. And if we get to the point where we can thank him, in a sense, nonstop in times of good and plenty, when these bad situations come along, it's easier for us to go, wait, I know there's good here somewhere. Where is it? And what can I thank him for? And we do that. Psalms 50 and verse 23. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. Is there any comments? Anything left? Clay, would you give Amy the mic one more time? She's going to reread. This is Psalms 92, 1 through 5.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. By the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep.